Seeking the Lord's gracious help, we will turn to the chapter we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 66. I will read the verses 12 and 13 and 14, but my thoughts particularly in the 13th verse. Isaiah 66, reading the verses 12, 13 and 14. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. As Isaiah brings to a close the prophecy, he sees a gospel day. We have many passages in this prophecy of Isaiah regarding the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, even the death of the Messiah. But here he sees a day when the power and the work of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be known. We live in a day that is far different to that of Isaiah. If we read of his life, we can see that he was well known to the then king for many years, Hezekiah. It is believed that he was a man who lived in a state of comfort, shall we say. Certainly it would appear that he did not live in poverty. He was very close to the king, who turned to him constantly. He truly received much blessing. There is much of the gospel in the prophecy of Isaiah. But here this word is regarding Jerusalem, the Lord's dear people. We have been reading recently through the books at home of Samuel and of course the Kings, and reading of the time when David took the city Jerusalem from the Jebusite. It's in a very short chapter where we read of the people of Jebus, as it was called, said that no one could enter. The gates, the walls were too high. It was impossible. And how they mocked David. But if you read through, you will see that very quickly the Lord blessed that work. It had to be taken. The Jebusite cast out. The idol worshipper had to go. The pagan, the heathen, to be cast down and brought to nothing. What was raised up within her? The name Jerusalem, of course, means the foundation of peace. And so the Lord says here in verse 12, I will extend peace to her like a river. And he is speaking regarding Jerusalem. But what of the day in which we live? Oh, can we not see this as spiritual Jerusalem? The city that the Lord has raised up. We can read of it in the book of the Revelation, as it's called, the Holy City. Holy Jerusalem. Yes, those who have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit of God, where the work of his grace has entered into their soul. The call by grace truly has been their calling. The Lord looks upon her in his mercy because he loves her. His love is ever toward her, and he cannot but love her. The reason for that, then think of what David had to do. He had, as it were, to overcome all that was sin, transgression, and evil. the Lord Jesus Christ had to overcome. Not just the sinners that were there, but the sin of his own people, the sin in the heart and the soul of every one of us, if we are counted amongst his people. And if we have that hope in his mercy, he says, I will extend peace to her like a river. How does peace come? The peace of God, we read, passeth all understanding. But the peace was made by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Micah records that this man shall be our peace, and he is our peace. And Paul, writing to those at Ephesus, he says, for he is our peace. But do we know that peace? It's peace from sin. It's peace from that weariness of evil that rises up within. It is truly the peace of God in the understanding received of pardon, of mercy, of the cleansing work and power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel here there are echoes of the 46th Psalm. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. What river is being spoken of but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? For her to receive sin gone, the blessing, the mercy, to receive pardon, to receive cleansing. Yes, to receive salvation, to know it, to feel it, or for it to be, as it were, born within her. There is much here of the beginning of the birth, as it were, of Jerusalem. As he says in verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her. And he goes into that time of being upon the breast, of being a babe, that ye may milk out, he says. Ah, but there's this glorious blessing. There's this supply. There's this precious food. There is that sincere milk of the word. Do we feel it in our soul? For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Have we received a little of this peace? If we know anything of this, it's the mercy of God. We cry for it. Oh, that the Lord might grant us peace. It is a solemn truth that there is no peace. Isaiah records those words, does he not? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked ones. All they know is that trouble that they will ever have, that eternal judgment against them. It is in the closing verse of this chapter, and the Lord speaks of his own people. He says, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, he says. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. And dear Isaiah had much to say to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, of course, to the Jew, were those whom they wouldn't speak to. They were those whom they would acknowledge their existence in a solemn manner. And yet, the Lord says, but I do have a people beyond Jerusalem. There is spiritual Jerusalem. And the Gentiles shall come, they are spoken of in the love of God, in the love of Christ. And as we know, Paul was sent to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And his preaching is very clear. May we hear his voice. He says that the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. This is as a parent, a mother would care for her child. but this is the gracious care of God over his dear ones. The supply that she seeks and needs. And we are very much like that babe. We are so weak, so dependent upon the Lord. The human babe in the time of its birth. If we think upon all of the animals in creation, there is none that is so dependent upon its mother. So weak, so unable to do a thing. Most will stand within perhaps a few hours. It's very necessary, for they must keep up, as it were, with the group that they are in, the herd. But here the dear babe, in all its need, so dependent upon its parent. And so it is spiritually. Our dependency upon the Lord is complete. We have not a thing that is ours that he has not given us. Here below on this earth, we can truly say that whatever we have and hold at this moment in time, it comes from the Lord. It is his. He says in his word that the cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. All creation is his. And we read that for his pleasure they are and were created. And yet, frail man upon it, oh how he stands and he says, how great he is. But here we are taught of God. And when the dear soul in its state of need comes before the one where all needs come and flow from, why, there's the cry. There's that movement. There's that desire. There's that need. And that cry in the soul, crying unto the Lord, seeking every need, seeking its strength, seeking the blessings that are so deeply needed, so that it can continue, so that it can grow. And we pray for these blessings. But I want to come as enabled to this 13th verse, which was very much upon my mind, and seemed to come in some form and measure of sweetness, where the Lord then continues to say, as one whom his mother comforteth. So we have this analogy still, as we have in the previous verses. So will I comfort you. Paul knew the God of all comfort. The Lord's people often cast down the deepest burden, themselves as sinners, before a just and a holy God. The righteous law of God standing against us all. We must confess before the Lord that we have sinned. Against thee only have I sinned, says one, and done this evil in thy sight. David said it. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of it in the parable, of course, of the prodigal son. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. The comfort then that is received, to know yourself as a sinner pardoned. That is the peace extended like a river, when peace can flood into the soul. That peace of the love of Christ, the love of God, the mercy of God. These things are real. These things come with sweetness. These things come with power. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Have you? Have I not known them? Have there been those tokens in the past? Those precious moments we may look back. We may cry the prayer of dear Cowper when he said, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? You may feel it is some time past. And your cry very much is in the psalm, isn't it? Show me a token for good, some token of thy special love, says the hymn writer. Show me that I am born of God. For your cry there is repeated once more. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you. Or do you not want the comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ alone can give? He said to his disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The comfort that he gave them was himself. I will come to you. There is your comfort. It is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his presence. It is in his love. It is in his mercy. It is in his grace. It is in himself. He, the God of all comfort. We pray for that spirit of comfort to work mightily within us. Oh, have we known it? And if you've known anything of it, I feel certain of this. You will want it to be increased. You will want another token. You will desire and plead for more of that comfort. You seek that comfort for your never dying soul. What does that comfort bring you? It must bring you the beginning of faith. It must put within you that sweet hope. It must bring you into that spirit of looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking him, wrestling, pleading. Now you walk the path of prayer, and your desire is to know him and to know that spirit of his indwelling in your soul. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Or may you and I pray for this comfort. If we know a little of it, even in measure, the desire will be for more. And we pray unto the Lord to know that peace, the peace of God, the peace of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is our peace. He hath made peace for his dear people. That peace is made through his blood, through his sacrifice, through his mercy. May you and I receive a little of it, all to have it in our soul. So will I comfort you, but the promise is here. The promise is given. These comforts return. In the day that perhaps we feel that we have so little, that when he comes, he brings that comfort and applies it. When the Holy Spirit reveals it, witnesses it, confirms it, seals it in our soul. Dear soul, it's yours. It's your own personal comfort. It belongs to you. You hold it dear. And you cry out for the Lord to bless you often with it. Or you want that token confirmed. You do not wish to be deceived. Or you want it to be made real. You want a fresh application. So the Lord promises here. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And we think of dear friends in affliction. And some have to walk that pathway. It may be true for any of us. We cannot tell what is in the hand or the mind of the Lord for us. But should he call us to walk in the pathway of affliction? But the promise of comfort is there. And the Lord can alone bring that comfort. Some time ago I was speaking to one of the Lord's servants. Wife has had many years of suffering. And he said on the first occasion that she was to have an operation, how he feared she was so troubled. But when the day dawned, the peace that she was granted. And he said that is the peace like none other. And dear friends, if you've experienced any of these things, you will know the pathway. When he comes in the midst perhaps of the depth of affliction. But he says, but I am thy God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When he calls you by your name and speaks to your never dying soul and says, thou art mine, all comfort will come. It will be as nothing to you. I have spoken recently at home of a good memory of one who was a member with us at Bexley. And as she came down to her last days, we went to see her in the hospital. I used to go to see her weekly and spend an evening with her. Her care and her love toward me was very sweet. Always a tray of lovely cakes were provided, a cup of tea. But I can tell you this and witness before you and the Lord, we didn't take anyone's reputation away. There was no gossip that flowed from her lips nor mine. She spoke of her dear Saviour, and that for hours. I could have stayed there all night. It was a struggle to go home. Oh, but it was sweet. Those times I hold dear in my memory. And as I went to see her in the last few days of her life, in the hospital bed, she was one who suffered much in her life. And she said to me, my dear, she said, when I look around this hospital, I see other cases far worse than mine. As we went to leave and we went and we spoke to the staff at the desk, and one said to me, I have not seen such a severe case of suffering as hers. She is in constant pain. It is one of the worst cases we have in this hospital. She was in one of the main hospitals in London. But the soul was in that spirit of love to her dear Saviour. I never heard her complain. Oh, she knew the comfort of her God. She knew the presence of her Lord. And she spake often of him. Oh, how humbled I often felt in her presence. What great poverty it revealed in me. Oh, may the Lord grant you, should you be called to walk the pathway of affliction, to know that comfort of his love. You see, that presence will take away all pain. And oh, may you be granted that, to know him, that I may know him. And then we think of the pathway some dear friends walk of sorrow, of sadness, maybe of grief. Loved ones departed, those that are close, whether they're husbands or wives, whether they're parents. But look back. And then you receive that comfort of one who said, but I am thy God, thou art mine. And you receive that comfort. Perhaps you go to a home where you are now alone. But he has said, yea, he has said, writes Paul to the Hebrews, does he not? He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it is in this prophecy where we can read those words. Zion hath said, my God hath forsaken me. He said, can a woman forget her sucking child? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Oh, there's the comfort there, not forgotten of my God. No, I am not alone. I am in the hand of one who brings that comfort of his presence. And oh, may you be granted that, to know his presence, to feel it close, to feel those arms underneath, those words of Moses, underneath are the everlasting arms. The support, the supply of it, the blessing of it, the peace of it, the love within it. And then, oh, if you are truly taught of God, your great comfort is this, that the Lord will receive you. He will have mercy upon you. The pathway that you walk can only be into that day that he has appointed, when you will leave this earth forever and be forever with the Lord. May the Lord grant you that comfort from his presence of himself. Some, of course, walk the pathway of trial. Some have borne great burdens. Some do bear them still. And why are these things? Was it because they were sinners? No. The Lord himself declares that not to be the case. Read in the Gospel of John, go through the chapter. There it is in chapter 11, I believe you'll find it. Chapter 9, rather, it is, not 11. There is the man who was born blind. And even the disciples said, why was this man born blind? Who did sin, this man or his parents? And the Lord says, no, it's a spirit of misunderstanding. Neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the glory of God should be revealed. So should you be called upon to bear much trouble, whatever the Lord may send, oh, may you know this, that the promise is given, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. But it goes on and it says, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You see, this is the heavenly city I believe referred to here. But this heavenly city as it were, is received in a token here below. You see, the beginning of salvation is on this earth, it's in the soul. It's that quickening power, the author and the finisher of your faith. The author of your faith, as we see, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The finisher is the Lord Jesus Christ. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. But then you may come into the Lord's house. Have you come there sometimes, felt low in spirit, low in heart? You felt you can't look up. You only look down. You look at your circumstances. You look at the place you're in and you say, "Ah, Lord, here I come." And perhaps you'd rather sit at the back of the chapel and almost not be saved. But then the Lord comes. And when he comes with his comfort, he says, "You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Why, this is the place where the sanctuary is. And you come into the sanctuary. And he says, "But you shall receive the comfort of my love." Or you shall receive that precious word written upon the fleshy table of your heart. "Ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." There will be these comforts. There was much in Jerusalem to cast the people down. Many sinners there, no doubt. Things were not always perfect, were they? Neither will they be, because we're all sinners. But there is this wonderful gift, that this comfort is in Jerusalem. I believe it means this. It's the place where the Lord said that he would dwell amongst his people. There is the temple. There is Solomon's temple. There is the mercy seat. What was the mercy seat there for? For the high priest to enter in. Why did the high priest go there? Why, to meet with his God, with the God of the Lord's dear people. He went there as a mediator. He went there as an advocate. He represented the people. Then think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how much higher he is, as we find in the Epistle to the Hebrews. His mediation, it's for eternity. It's everlasting. It's eternal mercy. It's eternal comfort. These comforts cannot die. Many comforts on this earth will cease in our death. We cannot take anything out, says Paul. But this comfort is forever. The comfort of the Lord is eternal. This peace that he sends down in verse 12, "I will extend peace to her like a river." We thought of that precious blood. But what does the blood bring? Why, eternal life. There's the gift. Not only peace, but that blessing of life. That river of life. What does John see when he looks into the holy city? There's the river of life. It's before them. There it stands. "Come and drink. Yea, come." There's that cry. There's those words again in Isaiah 55 verse 1. "Come ye, buy. Yea, buy wine, milk." Yes, without money, without price. All the supply is there. As you enter into Jerusalem, you come into the Lord's house, the Lord's courts. But there is a supply. There is a comfort here. And this comfort enters into your soul. This spirit of love and of mercy and of grace. And if the Lord speaks to you, or you receive that sweet comfort. "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." But it'll be far better than any comfort that a dear mother can ever give you. But it is a manner in which it is received. I can think as a little boy of those times when I climbed onto my mother's lap and found it one of the most lovely places to be. But I can have the memory now of the arms around that sweet blessing of love received. But surely this is what is received here. This precious gift of the love of God to a sinner. This is beyond our reason, our understanding. Why? Why should this be? Ah, he says, "But I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." We pray for more of this. Or to come into the Lord's house that the Lord's servant might speak those things concerning the King of Kings. We have an ever-dying soul. We have the pathway before us. We have those many experiences of our fallen nature. We are often cast down. We are often filled with the thoughts of sin and how we fear and tremble. But there is a sweet, precious but God, says dear Paul, does he not, to the Ephesians, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Surely some of these things bring you comfort as you read his word, as it enters into your heart. And that the Lord is the God of all comfort to us, and that great blessing of that mercy. And he says, does he not, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Ye that tremble at his word. Oh, they trembled, did they not? They feared before the Lord. Listen to the Lord's words. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Perhaps you feel at times, I can't do much. I'm only a poor trembler. Your soul, that's what the Lord has called you to be, to tremble before him. You know yourself as a sinner. You cry unto the Lord. But does not the comfort come? Is there no balm in Gilead? Oh, there is. When that balm is received, when that blessing is applied, when the comfort is in the soul, in the spirit, and in the heart. Ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. There's a promise made here. There's the blessing to be received. The God of all comfort is to be made known. Oh, have we received any comfort of his love? Have we received those tokens? Has not the Lord spoken to us? Do we not have a hope in his mercy? Is there not that in our heart and soul and spirit that truly would seek the Lord, bow before him, trembling at his word, and confessing your sin? But is there no comfort in that? Do you leave the throne of grace still a sinner? Of course you do, in one respect, but in another, has there been no comfort? Oh, I pray that you may be granted it, that the Lord may grant you these precious things, these words here, are, as we might say, part of these exceeding great and precious promises. But I believe there's also a prophecy here. Ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ is to come. But he is the comfort of his people. That time of his coming. Yes, the time of his birth, of his life. And then think of his death. Why there's comfort here? Because there's the victory over sin here. There's the precious blood made known here. There's the broken body here. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ crucified? Why, we know he was outside the city gates, but it was Jerusalem. The promise is made. The prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. He shall be. Oh, but here he comes. The comfort to his people. The heavenly bridegroom. Seeking his bride, paying her purchase price, so that she shall be received in his eternal presence, so that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, writes Paul, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. What comfort is here? For we pray for this, do we not? To know this comfort. Then that comfort of the resurrection, the comfort of that life that is everlasting yet to come. The comfort of the fulfilment of every promise. And the comfort of that which we read of in the epistles as those dear ones who had lived with the Lord Jesus Christ, been close to him. Did they not long to see him again? John says so, does he not? He says, then we shall see him as he is. There was a comfort to him in his latter days. In his dying moments, no doubt. Where was he going to be? As Paul cried out, as Paul said, that he would be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the comfort that he had as he came to the end here below. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And of course those eternal comforts are made known and received as Paul cried out that they would be received, as Peter spoke of them, as John spoke of them. But then enter into the book of the Revelation. There is the comfort, the greatest comfort of all. And the Lord's dear ones are there, ever to be with their God, ever to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So eternal comforts are received. Oh, may the Lord grant us a token of these things. I would just look at the 14th verse. And it says, and when ye see this, you know, when the Lord grants you spiritual sight of it, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants. Oh, this is our cry, isn't it? Lord, reveal thy hand toward me, and his indignation toward his enemies. Yes, the enemies to be cast out of his eternal presence. Oh, but his servants, by the hand of the Lord shall be known. Those loving hands, crucified to a cross of wood, shall be known. Seeing there that sweet and glorious eternal sacrifice, it is seen as a lamb as it had been slain, shall be known toward his servants. The great love, a mystery, is it not? Paul often wrote of it as the mystery. It's a mystery to any one of us why we should ever receive the love of God. But there is this comfort. If we have a token of it, then it is so. Oh, may you and I receive some comfort from these things. May the Lord grant it to us. Amen.